The Wolf Queen. An old sultan who had ruled his land for many years had to ride through a forest one day. It was a beautiful summer's day and the birds were singing in every tree, but the sultan didn't hear them. His thoughts were with his wife, who had died a few months earlier and over whom he was still grieving. His people wanted another sultana, but not one of the ladies of the court appealed to him. It was hot, and the sultan was thirsty. When he came to a woodcutter's hut in the forest, he sent one of his attendants to knock at the door and ask for water. A beautiful girl opened the door. She was so beautiful that the soldier who had knocked at the door couldn't believe his eyes. He completely forgot why he had knocked at the door in the first place. Impatiently, the sultan sent for him.
"Why are you standing there, dawdling? Don't the people have water for us to drink?"
"Forgive me, my lord," said the soldier. "I did want to ask, but the girl who had opened the door is so beautiful that I was dumbstruck." The sultan went to see for himself, and indeed, he had never seen such a delightful being before. He drank some water, thanked her politely, and went on his way. But he could not forget the girl's face. The following day, he went to ask for water again, and the third day once more. Then the girl began to feel afraid, because she could see that the sultan was in love with her and intended to make her his sultana. Now, one would think that any girl would be only too happy to become a sultana, but this simple woodcutter's daughter was already in love and wanted no other suitor than the handsome young wazir to whom her heart belonged. After the third visit, the sultan stayed away for a few days. The girl was happy because she thought that he had decided to choose another wife. But just as she was beginning to relax, the sultan came riding up one day on a pitch-black horse with a blood-red saddlecloth and copper bells that tinkled as the horse trotted along.
"Amina," he said, "I want you to be my sultana. Will you agree to be my wife?"
But she quickly made a plan to create a delay. "I don't have any nice clothes. First, you must bring me a silver dress."
"Fine," said the sultan.
Then she ran to the house of the wazir to ask for his advice, but he wasn't there. The next day, the sultan arrived on a snow-white horse with a silver saddlecloth and silver bells that tinkled as the horse trotted along.
"Here is the dress," he said.
But Amina hardly looked at the silver dress. "No, that's not enough. First, bring me a gold dress."
"Fine," said the sultan.
Then she ran to the house of the wazir to ask for his advice, but he wasn't there. The next day, the sultan came riding on a chestnut horse with a golden saddlecloth and gold bells that tinkled as the horse trotted along.
"Here is the dress," he said.
But Amina hardly looked at the golden dress. "No, that's not enough. First, bring me a dress made of diamonds." Now, the sultan began to get impatient, but Amina smiled so prettily that he promised to do as she had asked. When he had left, she ran to the house of the wazir once again. This time he was there, and Amina told him everything and asked for his advice. "There is a way out," the wazir said when she had finished. "Take this magic ring and always wear it on the middle finger of your left hand. Also, take this wolf's pelt. If the sultan comes tomorrow and he wants to take you to the palace, go to your bedroom, pull the pelt over your shoulders, rub the ring, and then sing the following words."
"Na suwe dindi, jatari mabatuwe, biram biram, nokia wela biram biram, nokia wela."
The following afternoon, the sultan came riding on a dappled horse with a saddlecloth studded with diamonds and crystal bells that tinkled as the horse trotted along.
"Here is the dress," he said.
This time Amina admired the dress and asked the sultan to come inside. "Wait here in the sitting room," she said. "I want to go and put it on." But instead of the dress, she pulled the wolf's pelt over her shoulders, rubbed the ring, and sang the words which the wazir had taught her. The sultan waited for a long time, but when Amina had still not appeared after half an hour, he knocked at the door of her bedroom. When there was no reply, he opened the door. On the bed lay a wolf, with its head on its paws and flashing eyes that watched the sultan's every move. When the sultan gripped his sword, the wolf jumped out of the window. Of Amina there was no trace. With a heavy heart, the sultan returned to the palace, because he knew now that he would never take Amina back there as his bride. But Amina would not get off so lightly. When she rubbed the ring to take on her human form again, she had forgotten the words of the song. She wandered around in the wolf's pelt, aimless and afraid, till a group of hunters came across her. "Look, it's a tame wolf," said one of the hunters, as Amina stood so frozen with fear that she couldn't run away. They caught her and put her in a cage on the estate of the wazir, but he was ill in bed and knew nothing about the matter. That afternoon, just before sunset, a couple of hunters brought some water and a piece of meat for the wolf, but it didn't want to eat a thing. "It will die of hunger," said one.
"Oh, well, it won't be our fault," said the other. "There's more than enough food here. Hey, are you going to the dance at the house of the wazir's brother tonight?"
"Yes." When Amina heard this, she was filled with a burning desire to attend the dance. She thought and thought, but only when the sun went down did she suddenly remember the words of the song. She rubbed the ring, and when she had returned to human form, she ran to her father's house in the forest and put on the silver dress. That evening, she was the most beautiful woman in the hall. Everyone was talking about the unknown sultan's daughter, but no one could say where she had come from. Amina danced with the brother of the wazir, but nowhere could she see the man she loved.
"Where is your brother, then?" she asked at last.
"My brother is ill, but he will surely be here tomorrow evening," he replied. Then Amina slipped out of the hall, went home, and exchanged her silver dress for the wolf's pelt, rubbed the ring, and sang the song. After that, she went back to lie in the wolf's cage. When the sun rose, she had forgotten the song once again. The next evening, even more guests arrived. The food was more tasty, the music more lively. Of all the pretty women, the unknown poetry with her golden dress was the most beautiful. But once more, the wazir wasn't there. When the hunters came to the cage the next morning, the wolf was sitting in a corner, as usual. That evening, the dancing reached its climax. All the guests wore their best clothes. The lights sparkled as never before. Two orchestras took it in turns to play music, and the guests danced nonstop. The most beautiful of all was the poetry in the diamond-studded dress. But the wazir wasn't there. At the crack of dawn, Amina went to exchange the diamond-studded dress for the wolf's pelt and crept into the cage. That day, the wazir got out of bed, and while walking around the garden, he came across the cage. "And now what's this?" he asked one of the hunters who was standing there. The hunter told him how they had caught the wolf in the countryside. Then the brother of the wazir arrived, and he told him about the beautiful poetry who had attended the dance. "Could it have been the woodcutter's daughter?" wondered the wazir, and he went to stand in front of the wolf's cage. "Amina," he called. The wolf ran this way and that, but couldn't say a word because it was still early in the afternoon, and Amina could only remember the words of the song at sunset. But the wazir knew it was Amina. He opened the door of the cage, grabbed the wolf by the throat, and ordered his guards to kill it at once. Then Amina appeared, more beautiful than ever before, and the wazir embraced her and took her to his home. Later, the wazir became a sultan, and he always called his wife the Wolf Queen.